சர்வேஷாம் சுப்ரபாதம். யோகசூத்திர பரிச்சய கக்ஷாயாம் சரண்யாம் ஏஷா நவமி கக்ஷா மங்களஸ்லோகேன ஆரம்பம் குர்மஹ, பிரார்த்தனா ஸ்லோகேன ஆரம்பம் குர்மஹ. யோகேன சித்தஸ்ய பதேன வாசாம் மலம் ஷரீரஸ்ய ச வைத்யகேன யோபாகரோத்தம் ப்ரவரம் முனீனாம் பதஞ்சலிம் ப்ராஞ்சலிரானதோஸ்மி. So we will initially do a review of previous class. So in the previous class we discussed about ஏகாகிரதா உபாயாக சம்ப்ரஜ்ஞாத சமாத்யர்த்தம். The 7th and 8th classes focused on this particular, the penultimate unit of the first pada. This discusses about the various alternative methods through which one can attain ekagrata, one-pointed focus. And why this one-pointed focus is needed? It is for the purpose of reaching the sampragnyata samadhi, the first level of samadhi. Some 7 methods were given in this unit, of which 4 of them were already discussed in the 7th class, and the remaining 3, Pitaraga Vishayam Va Chittam, Swapna Nidra Jnanalambanam Va, Yathabhimata Dhyanadva, these 3 were discussed in the previous class. Pitaraga Vishayam Va Chittam, when the mind focuses on the spiritually enlightened person, those who have already reached the goal of yoga, the Jivan Muktas, those who are liberated even when alive, when they are meditated upon, even then the mind attains ekagrata, single pointed focus. And then Swapna Nidra Jnana Lambanam Va, meditating upon or focusing the mind upon the knowledge that is gained in Swapna, dream, and Nidra, deep sleep or Sushupti, even that can lead to Ekagrata. And finally Yathabhimata Dhyanadva, or meditating upon any object in which our mind settles down easily. So it is up to the practitioner. So it is the choice of the practitioner to select his own object, his own object of focus through which his mind easily settles down. So these 3 methods were added to the existing list, and then the result of attaining this ekagrata. So what after attaining ekagrata, what is intended through all these methods? The phalam of this ekagrata, the result of this ekagrata is vashikaraha, paramanu parama mahatvantosya vashikaraha. If the practitioner desires to focus upon minutest or subtlest things, his mind will easily flow into that. Or if he desires to focus upon a very great thing, his mind will equally ease into such a meditation. So that is the ekagrata phalam. So he will have a total control, vashikaraha, total control over the mind by which he can channelize it into any object of his desire. So if such a control over the mind exists, only then it is implied through this that if only such a control is achieved, only such a person qualifies for the higher state, higher practices of yoga such as Sampragnata Samadhi and Asampragnata Samadhi. So, all these ideas were discussed in the unit which falls in the sutra range 33 to 40 of the first pada. After that, we began with the final discussion on Samadhi. As this is Samadhi Pada, so this, the last unit of this Pada focuses entirely on the Samadhis. It is not that only here, that is beginning the 41st Sutra, that we find the discussion on Samadhi. Even earlier in the 17th, 18th Sutras, we found discussion on Samadhi. We did a small recap of that also in the previous class. So, the Sampragnata and Asampragnata Samadhis were already introduced. Sampragnata Samadhi, which has a thought or an object, that state of Samadhi, which has a thought or an object as the focus, and the mind gets merged progressively, or the mind gets identified with that in the process of meditation without any distraction, gets absorbed into that. That is Sampragnata Samadhi. And Asampragnata Samadhi was described as Virama Pratyayabhyasa Purvaha. So it is a state where the mind rests. The mind does not act. The mind attains stillness. Whereas in Sampragnata Samadhi, there was an object to focus upon. Here there is no focus in the sense that there is no object to focus. So this is a state where the mind stops or becomes still. This is like, if you can just think of a walking on the rope. Earlier you might have seen people walking on a rope, that they hold a long stick in their hand while walking on a rope. They would require that to balance while walking on the rope. Probably that stick, that kind of a practice can be compared to the Sampragnata Samadhi, where something, some kind of a balance, something to hold upon is required to make the mind focused. Whereas due to constant practice and intensification of vairagya or detachment, what happens is the yogi attains the capability. He does not require even an object to still the mind, to calm the mind, to make the mind free from any modifications. A stillness is attained, and that state where an object is not required to absolutely still the mind is called as Asampragnata Samadhi. It is like walking on the rope, hands free, without any support at all, simply walking across as a man walks on a land. So these two kinds of Sampragnata and Asampragnata Samadhis were discussed, and then Bhava Pratyaya and Upaya Pratyaya. Classification of Asampragnata Samadhi was also mentioned. Bhava Pratyaya, enough time has been given for this discussion. That is, Asampragnata Samadhi attained by birth itself due to the virtue of the karmas or yogic practices in the previous janma. Upaya pratyaya is utilizing various upayas like shraddha, virya and other practices to attain that state in this birth. So these two kinds of divisions were introduced or reminded, which were already discussed. And then, so as we see here, in the previous section or in the earlier portion of the first pada, four kinds of samadhis, sampragnata, asampragnata, samadhis were mentioned. Even in that sampragnata samadhi, we saw that it has four levels, vitarka, vichara, ananda and asmita. So that was the fourfold classification that we saw there in the initial portion. And now in this portion, this final portion of the first pada, which ranges from Sutra 41 till the end, that is 51, we again see a fourfold classification of samadhi, that is savitarka, nirvitarka, savichara and nirvichara. So in the sampragnata samadhi, that will be discussed in this final unit, we will see a fourfold classification of sampragnata samadhi, savitarka, nirvitarka, savichara and nirvichara. And then finally, all these four are called as sabija samadhis. And then when one transcends these, what the yogi, the state that the yogi attains is nirbija samadhi. So we will go into the meaning of all these in today's class. So this is just a recap of the previous session. Yes. So any clarifications in this point? Any questions here? Okay. So the range of the sutras in this final sixth unit is Sutra 41 to 51. Now, the various methods of ekagrata were mentioned. Ekagrata vridhya, sabija samadhihi, samanya samapattihi. So, when ekagrata, the highest point of ekagrata is achieved, ekagrata vridhya, what one achieves is the capability to enter sabija samadhi. And this sabija samadhi is also called as samanya samapattihi. Or samapattihi is another, is a synonym for the term samadhi. Samadhi and samapatti are the two terms which can be used interchangeably. Samadhi refers to samyak adhiyate chittam. The mind is firmly placed or firmly focused on the object. So that is one way of explaining that higher state of consciousness. Samapattihi also refers to the same state, but going by the etymology, it says samyak apadyate dheya akaram. So the mind attains transformation. So the mind gets transformed into the object of meditation. So samadhi refers, as it were, it refers to the effect or the effort on the part of the practitioner to focus well, to attain that higher state of consciousness. Whereas samapatti is also referring to the same state, but whereas it indicates the result of such an effect, such an effort to focus, that is the transformation of the mind. The mind gets transformed into the object chosen for focus. So that is samapatti. So this samapatti here in this sutra has been described as Kshinavritteh Abhijatasyeva Manehe Grahitra Grahana Grahyeshu Tatstha Tadanjanata Samapattihi. So essentially here samapatti is samapatti or samadhi can happen to a mind where thoughts have considerably reduced. Kshinavritteh. So the vrittis should have considerably reduced. Only such a mind can attain samapatti or samadhi and not a distracted mind. So that's why a lot of emphasis was laid on attaining ekagrata. Without ekagrata, the precondition to attain samadhi, one cannot imagine of oneself attaining this samapatti. So the mind becomes crystal clear, becomes pure as crystal. Manehe, kshinavritte, abhijata seva manehe, like a pure mani, a pure crystal, the mind attains the capability to get transformed into whichever object which has been chosen for meditation. Grahitra, grahana, grahyeshu. So, let it be any object outside which is chosen for focus or which is mentioned as grahyam. Grahanam, it can even be the sense organs which are involved in the process of getting knowledge to the mind. Even one can focus upon one's own senses to attain samadhi, the indriyas to attain samadhi, and then finally grahita. So one can even focus on the knower or the atman. So let it be anything, let it be any object, let it be the object of the focus outside, or let it be the senses, or let it be the knower for which the entire process of yoga is going on. So in all these things, if the yogi if the yogi desires to practice samadhi, his mind will immediately transform itself into the chosen object. So there will be no difficulty, as there are not many vrittis or not many modifications of the mind to distract. So this is the general definition of samapatti. So the capability of the mind to assist the will of the practitioner. The practitioner, if he wills to focus upon any object, or if he even focuses not to focus on any object, if he even decides not to focus on any object, to simply still the mind will cooperate. So such is the definition, general definition of the term samapatti, which one finds in the 41st sutra. And now here, in the 42nd and 43rd sutras, we find the sampragnata samadhi's classification. Twofold classification of sampragnata samadhi, that is savitarka and nirvitarka sampragnata samadhi, or sampragnata samapatti. As I mentioned earlier, samapatti and samadhi refer to the same. Okay. So what is Savitarka Samapatti? Savitarka Samapatti is again defined as Shabdartha Jnana Vikalpaihi Sankirna Savitarka Samapattihi. So this is the basic state of Samadhi, the initial state of Samadhi that a practitioner attains, where in the practice, in this particular state of samadhi, what happens is that as this is Sampragnata Samadhi, the lower Samadhi, which needs an object of focus, so what will be the kind of Samadhi that a practitioner attains here? you might recollect that the term Vitarka refers to the gross object of focus. In the 17th or the initial portion, the samadhi state was classified into Vitarka, Vichara, Ananda and Asmita, 4 levels. So Vitarka refers to the gross object outside which is taken for focus. So the panchabhutas and the creation, the panchabhautika srishti, so the manifestations that have emerged out of the panchabhutas, all the world that we see, they are the gross objects according to yoga shastra. And samadhi based on those objects is referred to by the term vitarka. So in both this Savitarka and Nirvitarka Samadhi, the object of focus is the gross objects of the world outside. So that is one basic point. And now in Savitarka Samadhi, what happens is that if we take any object, in our normal understanding, take a book or a pen or a telephone, anything like that. So there are 3 aspects involved: Shabdaha, Arthaha, Jnanam. So if we take the example of a book, it has a name, Shabdaha. Arthaha, it indicates to a particular object, that is a book. And then Jnanam, the knowledge that it creates in the mind, oh, this is a book. So these 3 are involved in any knowledge. So in this object which is taken for meditation, these 3 aspects are there: Shabda, the word, Artha, the meaning, and the Jnanam, the knowledge of that object. In the process of normal cognition, what happens is, Yoga Shastra states that Shabda has different attributes, Artha has different attributes, and Jnanam also belongs to a different realm. These 3 are 3 different aspects. But in our knowledge about a book, all these 3 combine. So, Shabda, Artha and Jnana combine together, and then it is consumed by us. Or it is an admixture of Shabda, Artha and Jnana. All our knowledge is essentially a mixture of Shabda, Artha and Jnana. These 3 are interconnected in our knowledge. And in this state of Savitarka Samadhi, the object will be perceived with these 3 aspects mixed together: Shabdartha Jnana Vikalpaihi Sankirna Savitarka Samapattihi. And the admixture of these 3, Shabda, Artha and Jnana, is called as a Vikalpa. Vikalpa in the sense that initially we have discussed the idea Vikalpa, it is an imaginary knowledge. When I perceive any object, it is only an object. Any object is merely an object. But when I perceive it along the word that refers to it, and along the object itself, and along with the knowledge that it creates. So any normal perception is a mixture of the word, the object, and also the knowledge it creates. So from the yogic point of view, this is vikalpa. The object is not made up of, essentially when you take up the composition of the object, the book, it is not made up of word, object, and the knowledge. Essentially, it is made up of paper. Whereas, when we grasp it, when we grasp the book, the knowledge of a book, an admixture of these three only creates the knowledge. It is not the plain book as it exists outside that is grasped in our mind. Now, what is the difficulty? When any knowledge is a mixture of shabda, artha, and jnana, what happens is that all these come with various associations. Shabda, if I say book, then immediately other associations with the book comes, other memories with the word comes. Oh, I borrowed a book from the library, did I return? Or the word book will again remind me of the verb, did I book the ticket for a particular journey? So with the word book, when the samadhi is attained with associations of shabda, artha, I just gave an example of shabda. Similarly, the artha is the basic thing which has to be grasped, whereas the jnana of the book also causes modification in the mind. That knowledge may be right or wrong, or it may be an imaginary knowledge. So various variations of the knowledge exist. So the object is not grasped as it is, but it is a mixture of the word, the object, and the knowledge that is associated with it. And this is the normal way we perceive objects. When we see objects, we do not differentiate between these three. Though all these three are involved in the process of grasping the object, we do not differentiate between this. So, in this Savitarka Samapatti, the object is grasped as we grasp it in the normal day-to-day life. So, with a mixture of Shabda, Artha, and Jnana, this knowledge is grasped. Though, essentially, Shabda has different attributes, Artha has different attributes, and jnana has different attributes. Shabda is a sum total of all the individual syllables that we create, and that is the building blocks of shabda. Artha is a physical thing outside. Artha here does not mean the meaning, whereas artha refers to the object, the physical object to which it refers to. That is the question. It says, Shabda Artha itself is Jnana. What is the distinction between Artha and Jnana? Why such a distinction is made? That's why it is our perception that Shabda Artha itself is Jnana. I am just explaining only that. Shabda Artha, according to the Yoga Siddhanta, Shabda and Artha are not Jnana. Shabda is made up of different building blocks, the syllables, and Artha is the physical object outside, which is made up of different components, and Jnana is a mental thing. So verbal, physical, and mental. So these three things, Shabda, Artha, and Jnana, belong to different realms. Yoga is all about attaining clarity. And In our normal perception, we need these three to perceive any object. So it is the normal perception, Shabda and Artha leads to Jnana. And Shabda and Artha are not Jnana. Shabda and Artha lead to Jnana. So whereas yoga is all about attaining clarity, the yogi always needs, or the yogi always desires to attain utmost clarity. If I desire to know an object, I should know it only as an object. There should be no associations. If I need to focus on a book, it should only be a book. In the sense, without any shabda or jnana associated with that, and only the artha should shine forth in my mind. I'll just come to that. So, Savitarka Samadhi or Savitarka Samapatti is a state where the yogi does not make a distinction between Shabda, Artha and Jnana. All these three are mixed together in his knowledge. If he focuses upon a cow, or if he focuses upon a lotus, or whatever object he focuses, there Shabda, Artha and Jnana all are present there in that particular knowledge. And this is called as Savitarka Samapatti, in the sense that why is this a lower state of Samadhi? Because since there is only the Artha is not present, along with that the Shabda and Jnana are also mixed together, what happens is there is a higher possibility to get distracted, because Shabda comes with its own associations and Jnana comes with its own associations. Jnana, it's of various kinds, as we see, Pratyaksha, Anumana, Agama. So all these kinds of knowledges are there. So the mind can anytime be distracted by these things, these associations of Shabda and Jnana. Whereas the goal of the yogi is to completely transform his mind into the object alone, without any associations. So, towards that, in this first state of Samadhi, what happens is, his state of Samadhi is still similar to the normal understanding of any word. It is made up of Shabda, Artha and Jnana. If he focuses on the book or on the lotus or any other form of God, what happens is, his mind, the flow of thoughts in his mind includes Shabda elements, Artha aspects and also the Jnana that is associated with it. So such initial state of Samadhi is called as Savitarka Samadhi. To just give an example, it's very very in a lighter vein, to give an example, this is like if a person is a new employee to a particular office, he needs all his credentials, he has to carry all his identity card and other things here to his new office. So every time he needs all those things to enter the premises of his building in his office. So normally to attain the initial focus similarly, so he needs all these associations at the first stage, like the Shabda, Artha and Jnana, to attain that Samadhi state. So the focus here in the Savitarka Samadhi is to just get hold of that Samadhi state, even though it is mixed with Shabda and Jnana associations. So that is the first step of Samadhi, that is Sampragnata Samadhi. So Vyasa states that விபஜ்யமானாஷ்ச அந்யே சப்ததர்மாஹ, அந்யே அர்த்ததர்மாஹ, அந்யே ஞானதர்மாஹ. சோ இத்யேஷாம் விபக்தஹ பந்தாஹ, த பாத் ஆஃப் சப்த, த பாத் ஆஃப் அர்த்த அண்ட் த பாத் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ் ஆர் இன் த்ரீ டிஃபரெண்ட் ரெல்ம்ஸ். வென் ஆல் தீஸ் ஆர் மிக்ஸ்டு டுகெதர் இன் தட் ஸ்டேட் ஆஃப் சமாதி, தட் சமாதி இஸ் கால்ட் அஸ் சவிதர்க்க சமாதி. And all this is about the gross object outside. So that's why I constantly gave the example of objects outside. That is why it is called as Vitarka Samadhi. So all this is based on the objects outside. So that is the Savitarka Samadhi. Now what happens in Nirvitarka Samadhi? The second step in this process. What happens is, it is again very interesting. ஸ்மிருதி பரிசுத்தௌ ஸ்வரூப சூன்யா இவ அர்த்தமாத்திர நிர்பாசா நிர்விதர்க்கா. இட் இஸ் ரிஃபைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் த ஆப்ஜெக்ட். அட் திஸ் ஸ்டேட் த ஆப்ஜெக்ட் இஸ் பிட் ரிஃபைன்ட், த ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன் இஸ் ரிஃபைன்ட். வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் ஹியர் இஸ் த ஆப்ஜெக்ட் இன் த சவிதர்க்கா ஸ்டேட் வாஸ் Shabdartha Jnana Sankirna. It was a mixture of word, the object, and also the knowledge that it creates in the mind. Whereas here, Arthamatra Nirbhasa, it is a mere reflection of the object. No Shabda and no Jnana. It was as if it's a mere reflection. The mind, that's why the example of a crystal was given earlier. The mind becomes so clear that it simply reflects the object. The associations of Shabda and Jnana, they wither away. Or the yogi intensifies his focus in such a way that the associations of the Shabda and the Jnana, the word and the various kinds of knowledges that it creates in the mind, are overcome. And only the object shines forth. Now how this is achieved? Smriti Parishuddhau. So this happens when the memory is cleansed. So, whenever we have, when we focus on any object, what happens is it brings to us a lot of memories. And the lots of memories are based on various shabdas and various jnanas. So, various shabdas would have created various kinds of knowledges, various kinds of experiences in the mind. I saw the book, I kept the book, I have studied that book, or the knowledge of this book was given by such and such a person. All these associations, all these memories that are associated. So, to disengage the Shabda and Jnana from the object is to work upon the memory. Smriti Parishuddhi. So one has to purify or clear out the memories which are associated with the object of focus. So the transformation from Savitarka or Nirvitarka to Nirvitarka happens when the yogi is capable of disassociating or disengaging the object of focus from the memories that it has created previously. The memories are in the form of jnana or knowledge, which is caused by various shabdas, various words that were spoken. They create knowledge, they create experiences, and those experiences are stored as smriti, memory, and whenever any object which bear resemblance with that memory comes, these rise above the surface of the subconscious and then present themselves. So that is what happens in the normal experience. So here yogi has to by his will, by his practice, has to disengage an object from its previous memories. By intensifying his practice, what happens is he has to disassociate an object from its memories. Only then the object is purely reflected in the mind. So that is called as nirvitarka state. Smriti parishuddhi is the first step, the cleansing of the memory or the suspension of the memory which is associated with the object chosen for focus has to happen first. Then what happens is swarupa shunya, the mind as it were loses its own nature and arthamatra nirbhasa, it gets transformed into the object chosen for focus. So that is the nirvitarka samadhi. So I'm just giving a recap of what savitarka and nirvitarka are. Savitarka samadhi, both the vitarka samadhis are about an object, a gross object in the world outside. It may be a flower, anything of one's choice, or given by the teacher, the guru, or the spiritual mentor. It may be a flower, any form of the god, a beautiful placid lake, anything. So object outside. So that is the general aspect of savitarka, vitarka samadhi. And then what happens is knowledge or the objects always come with the association of word and knowledge. And in this vitarka state, the yogi does not make any effort to focus only upon the object. The associations that are created by the previous knowledge through the previous experiences of various words related to that object still exist. So that is savitarka state. And in the nirvitarka state, the yogi disassociates or suspends the previous memories, previous associations with the object which is chosen for focus. So only the object remains, or only the object shines forth without any associations. I see a question here. When we say meditation on objects outside, actually it is inside our mind based on the perception. Is it not all objects, knowledge only inside our mind and not outside, or outside object only a nimitta matra? What you say is perfectly correct, sir. Why I used the objects outside, rather the grosser objects would be the right word to make the word clearer. I use the word object outside. What I intended was the grosser objects. The objects, initially I defined the objects outside as those objects, the panchabhutas and the further creation caused by the panchabhutas. So that is what I meant by the object outside. So yeah, what you point out is right. So it is the impressions of the objects that create in the mind about which all this process of samadhi is about. Okay. So savitarka and nirvitarka, this is the first two classification. You can just imagine how the mind of a yogi moves into finer knowledge. We are actually in an ocean of confused knowledge. our knowledge is all mixed up with Shabda, Artha and Jnana. So whereas, this brings out clearly that Yoga is about clarity. So overcoming all the associations and perceiving things objectively as they are. So that is the goal of Yoga. That becomes more clear when we see how a yogi proceeds from the confused or a savitarka state, which is an admixture, to a nirvitarka state, which is a pure reflection of the object. So probably this is what makes yoga scientific, in the sense that it pushes or helps, or it places a goal of absolute objectivity. So attaining absolute objectivity is the goal of a yogi, and a scientist also aspires only to attain objectivity. Okay, now we move to the next higher states of samadhi, where we see that we again further see a division, savichara and nirvichara. Now what is the difference between savitarka, nirvitarka and savichara and nirvichara? Here in the vichara state, the object is subtle. It is not gross. It is not anything related to the panchabhutas or the creation that has evolved out of the panchabhutas. It is deeper. It is subtler. It is about the pancha tanmatras. It is about the ahankara. It is about the mahat. And it is about the prakriti itself. You might recollect that in the Sankhya process of creation, the creation emerges from prakriti. From prakriti is the basic state. From the prakriti, the mahat emerges. The first intelligent creation happens, and from the mahat,